Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Eve edition. Dominic, that means it's damn near convention eve. I'm in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I'm here in deference to the fact it is a big Democratic Party convention weekend in God's country, the very place you and I went to college and became legends.
And I'm in the Waukesha studio here, Crudy, beautiful Waukesha, Wisconsin, and there's beer in the fridge, man, but so I can appreciate that. Very lacrosse-like up in here.
Well, you don't think I'd find a place to get a beer in a stone?
I want to thank our pal, Luke Mathers, the newsman over here. He sent out a tweet, and folks, you can join us. We're looking for your reaction as well. I got a lot of it, but, you know, I want to hear your opinions as well.
Before you thank our pal Luke, I want to thank our pal Chad from Chad's Design Build because they are the broadcast sponsors, not just of today's broadcast, tomorrow's broadcast from Buzzard Billy's next door over here. I love this joint, man. Great Creole kind of stuff. And then also the Saturday broadcast, special event broadcast, Democratic Party convention from the La Crosse Center. New and improved. It's beautiful.
Oh, very cool. Thank you, Chad. Chad's a good cat. Go check him out when you can. So, Luke, the news guy, he sent me a tweet, and I'm going to preface it in this way. We just talked about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and his ever-evolving story about his efforts to transmit, to give to Vice President Mike Pence, the fraudulent electors from both the state of Michigan and Wisconsin. And, of course, he's lying and stimmering and stammering while he goes on to Vicki McKenna's show today. And he said on the radio today that the documents in question came from U.S. Rep. Mike Kelly's office. It remains unclear how those documents got to Kelly's office, though Justin News reported, without naming the official, Trump campaign official asked a Pennsylvania congressman to help get the alternate slate to Pence. So lots of, you know, differing stories here. But thank you to Luke. A spokesperson for Rep. Mike Kelly denies that his office is the source of the alternate electors obtained by Senator Johnson's office. Allegations are called patently false. Here's the quote. Senator Johnson's statement about Representative Kelly are patently false. Mr. Kelly has not spoken to Senator Johnson for the better part of a decade, and he has no knowledge of the claims Mr. Johnson is making related to the 2020 election.
Well, they don't even make any sense. Why would some congressman from Pennsylvania have the false elector votes from Wisconsin and Michigan? I mean, how do they end up in Pennsylvania to be delivered to Kelly, to be delivered to Rojo?
I mean, obviously, most of these folks are in D.C., and I don't know if the state of their representation is necessarily relevant, right? But if what just the news is reporting, that a Trump campaign official asks a congressman from Pennsylvania to get the slate to Pence, well, I mean, that's also some new news. And but point being, whatever Ron Johnson just said this afternoon or earlier today on the radio about how he came into possession, about how this went down, is another lie. It is another lie. The spokesperson for Representative Kelly has said it is patently false.
Well, maybe Kelly's people are lying. How do you know? Yeah, right. You know, that guy's also a pro-Trumpster.
Yeah, yes.
He's been
yes.
pro-Trump. And how do I know? Because Ron's back on the Ross story, man. 844-967-2789. We're going to the phones. Going to need your help, Dominic.
I got you, man.
Let's Let's take Nick from Madison. Nick, how you doing, man? Our reasonable conservative buddy.
Hey, Nick.
There's not a lot I throw in that column. Nick, have you been listening or watching the J6, man?
I've watched when I could. You know, I've been working during the day, but, you know, I've been watching and, you know, listening. And
so the fact that there was a coup plot at the highest levels of the DOJ being perpetrated by Trump loyalists, you know, is that a little worse than some of the peaceful Black Lives Matter protests that got out of hand, or about the same?
We exactly agree here, because I think that, well, first of all, I think that bad is bad, and that, but I think that these, this last January 6th was probably one of the worst things that's ever happened in this country, because we've always had a peaceful transfer of power. Except for this one, that's a bad thing. I swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Every single other person there.
Nick. Hang on. Nick, you there? Go ahead.
Yeah. Did you miss me, or?
Yes, go ahead. Please continue. You swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, last we heard.
Of the Constitution of the United States. And had I had to take that oath that day, I'd be telling the truth. Every person there that day, up to including the former president, would have been lying. Now, I'm not saying that the riots that happened with the Black Lives Matter protests, the protests, awesome, okay, you know, good cause. The riots, very different thing. But also, state, local thing, not the United States president telling people to do something.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
And beyond telling them to do something, Nick, a active conspiracy on multiple levels. I mean, Liz Cheney talked about the 7-part plan. I mean, we're seeing the different tentacles. We're seeing the DOJ tentacle now. And the fact that, you know, basically they were going to decapitate the highest level of the DOJ. They were going to claim voter fraud. Hell, they were going to go seize the machines if necessary. And Bill Barr said, if I hadn't pushed back, if I hadn't a little bit of, you know, hadn't done a little bit of investigating to preemptively be able to say, no, there's no fraud. According to Barr, there would have been no transition.
Any other thoughts, Nick?
I'd say I agree with actually everything you're saying there, believe it or not. And people call me, I have been called a rhino before by friends and family. And you know what? If supporting a truly stupid man means that's what it means to be a Republican, don't call me a Republican. I'm not one. I'm something else. I'm not you guys. But I'm not that.
No, you'd have to be super cool to be us.
Nick, you're cool enough, man. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your
input.
No,
that's a pretty big statement that Nick just made.
Yes, and I think there's a lot of people thinking that way.
Did he just renounce the Republican Party in real time? I mean, we've always called him conservative, Nick. But, you know, I would say there's some Republican Party affiliation historically there. And Nick has always said, I'm not a Trumpster. But that's different than saying, I'm not a Republican.
Well, the Republican Party, as we've said over and over and over again, is now the fringe party, man. It's mega party. It's no Republican Party. I mean, you could disagree on what the tax rate should be and how, you know, how much regulation we should have on the oil industry, for example.
And whether or not we can decertify the 2020 election, of course.
No, I mean, some of those things you cannot disagree with. But we're beyond that now, right? I mean, we are so far beyond that. And I'd really love to hear from the law and order Republicans, right? Law and order. You just had, you know, Trump's appointed DOJ. These people work at the privilege, bequest of Trump. they don't have to be there. Trump, obviously, as we heard in the testimony, was considering firing and replacing Jeffrey Rosen with Jeffrey Clark. So they work at the privilege of Donald Trump. And if he wants them gone, they are gone. And they testified today. They've testified that the president wanted the scheme. He wanted to make this happen. And we know that there's no evidence for it. Yet he put the screws to everybody. He came out. He tweeted out. He said in his speeches. He said in his radio interviews. He expressed this over and over again. He gave numbers. 11,000 ballots there. You know, a dump truck full of ballots there. And a flash drive over here. He gave specificity to the lie. So if you were inclined to think, wow, hard to believe that my guy lost. You know, maybe. So you folks, Nick, maybe not you, but your family that you talk about that refer to you as a rhino, you were duped. You were taken. He took your money. He put it in his pocket. It was a ruse from the whole time. From the beginning, it was a grift. And if the grift can, you know, get you $250 million and keep you in power, then all the better. Thanks for the call, Nick.
I think it's an important point, though, Dom. And you know, I think most of my points are important.
tell me more about how important you think you are, Curdy.
These no longer supportive Republicans, these people that have come to a stark realization, oh my God, what Donald Trump stands for and what this party permits to have no longer represents what I am.
Yeah.
And they were misled. They were misled. I mean, just think about Front Row Joe. We met him all over the country. Guys like him. The guy Craig, the guy that played the Trump train song.
Yes.
Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of it, he was left disillusioned.
And broke.
Because he had been, and broke, and bankrupt. Because he had been left with false promises. You know, the guy will say anything, talking about Donald Trump. And some people, and they're good people. Some people are good people that voted for Donald Trump that are willing to believe other people at their face value and thought that this guy was a decent guy. But, you know, as it turns out, you were misled and you might have been defrauded. And, you know, welcome to not quite super coolness. You can't join our column, man. It's a very exclusive club we're in over here.
You can try. It's a big tent.
But you can be a reasonable human being and you can reassess. There's nothing wrong when presented with evidence or new evidence to say, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to go cheer for a new team. The Devil's Advocates, the greatest team ever. And you can be on it. Come back, more of us, more of you on the phone. It's 844-96-PARTY.
Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
From us. Nice.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's the happy hour. We are happy. We are discussing, evaluating, considering, mulling over the testimony we heard today from the Law and Order DOJ. And we want your input, your thoughts on Jeffrey Rosen, Richard Donahue, and Mr. Engel, the Office of Legal Counsel, what their testimony was and what they had to deal with and go through with Donald Trump. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'm thinking about rolling down the mighty Mississippi, man. I can't wait to get into some mischief later tonight.
Hey.
Broadcasting live here from God's country, La Crosse.
Stay away from that river, Crudy. I don't think you're a strong swimmer, man.
I told the story on myself. I said the first time I ever went skinny dipping was right across there on Pettibone Beach, late one night after a late night bikini yacht club cruise.
Sounds about right.
We were well lubricated, let's just say. But Dom, I went on a broadcaster's cruise last night. Got on a riverboat, went out on the mighty Miss. Kind of hot yesterday. I remember the old bikini yacht club days where they had the modern style, you know, yacht style. Well, below deck, you'd go down to the bar, you'd stay cold. Cool in the AC, you know. Nothing like experiencing nature through the portside window in the AC with a drink in one's hand. But anyways, had a good old time last night. stayed up quite late and got up and conventioned a little bit this morning and then watched the J6 testimony, as much of it as I could. And Dominic, I got to tell you, man, I feel like I can't even take a day off.
No.
Like if I do, you know, something tremendously big could break and I'd miss it.
Tremendously big and tremendously wet. The testimony today, I think, certainly telling. But it answers, you know, I have more questions now, though, right? I have many more questions. And the one I think I'd love to hear the J6 committee kind of drill down on is the influence at the Pentagon. I mean, if you have a president, a treasonous, traitorous president of the United States who's willing to attempt to bend the Department of Justice to his will, and this is not just, you know, Bill Barr putting out a false BS statement prior to the Mueller report dropping, saying, oh, nothing to see here. I mean, that's bad enough. But literally asking them to sign off on a document that you know to be true, false, you know to be fraudulent, and you know will create havoc in this country, to give you justification, to give your supporters justification, to foment the violence that we saw. I mean, imagine how bad it would have been if the DOJ came out and said, oh, yeah, oh, tons of fraud. I mean, again, I'm not even clear if they thought through how the end result was going to be. You know what I mean? I think the guardrails that we encountered during this process, there are many more to come. I just don't know. Like, how do you think this is going to turn out? How did you see this ending for you, Trump family?
I can tell you how. Here's the plan: is they drew it up on a chalkboard. Yeah. Step one: steal underwear.
Step two. Step three.
Step three, make profit.
It's working on the step two.
They were great at the step three, though, right? They were really good at the making profit part.
Well, I guess it's easy to make a profit when your only expense is, you know, email lists and you know, sending out solicitations. I guess someone's got to come up with the lies and, dear friend, Donald Trump's relying on you. Only you can, you know, stop forest fires. I can't deal with that kind of pressure. So you give all the money. They've got no overhead to talk about. Everyone's working out of the White House anyway. The rent's already paid. What does it cost to send an email? Nothing. So, yeah, you can make profit when you're a scam artist and hustling people to the tune of $250 million that we know of.
You know, this little hearing today kicked off just hours after the FBI raided Jeffrey Clark's home. Now, did we mention that before? Did we mention the guy, you know, he was sort of the guest of honor in absentia, Jeffrey Clark, today? Did we mention, you know, it's not just subpoenas. Now there's like pre-dawn paramilitary raids. There were some righties out there complaining today. Poor Jeffrey had to stand out on the street in his PJs.
I mean, so you have former member of the Department of Justice being raided by other members of the Department of Justice. And my only question is, what took you so damn long? I mean, is it the pressure from the publicity of how illegal and wrong this was that is being applied to the DOJ that today, or maybe perhaps it was yesterday, they decided to go and raid Jeffrey Clark's house because, I mean, he was the guest of honor today? I mean, that is a little troublesome to me, man. I mean, I don't know that we knew a whole lot more today than, you know, people that are dialed in and listening and reading and engaged on this topic. Certainly some details, filled in some blanks.
Oh, maybe we know more.
Okay, right. But
we know the pardon list, baby. We know the pardon list.
We knew there was a pardon list. But, I mean, ultimately,
but now we know who's on the DOJ,
what did the DOJ know, you know, 18 months ago? That they didn't know, or a year ago, or last month, that they didn't know today or yesterday when they actually executed that warrant and they raided Jeffrey Clark's place. The timing on that, is that good timing? Hey, American people, here's this guy who did all sorts of terrible things. And oh, yeah, by the way, this DOJ he used to work for just raided his ass. I mean, I guess that's that will, you know, will put a fine point on it from a marketing perspective. But, you know, that he had also had a year and a half to destroy any evidence that may have shown him to be even more guilty than he already is.
Wait, based on this plan, Tom, when is it the J6 hearings day to concentrate on the Trump family? You know, because let's hope there'd be some pre-done knocks down at Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
Folks, you are listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, doing it as only we can. We'll get to the phone stacks, 844-967-2789. But I am in beautiful, lovely God's country, La Crosse, Wisconsin, the third CD. And the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, they're going to be up here this weekend. I've already started seeing the Dems. They're rolling into the hotel. They're rolling into town. They're rolling into Buzzard Billy's next door. Best place to eat La Crosse. If you're coming up for the big deal, come see us tomorrow. We're broadcasting there live. But we're not done yet. The happier happy hour rolls on down the river.
Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm on the road live in La Crosse, Wisconsin. That's my fine alma mater. Dominic, you were my roommate. I think we both graduated eventually. Some, me, took longer than most. But you know, the good part is
I got time out for good behavior, man.
I enjoyed every minute of it, man.
For sure. You're welcome.
College exceeded all my expectations. Everything I thought it could be and should
and
be.
More.
It was better than that. It's all been downhill since there. You know. Accepting the wife and the family and the kids and stuff, but you know,
of course, yeah.
they're the good stuff. They're the real good stuff.
Thank you for the qualification, folks. 844-967-2789. We got some callers. Let's get to them. What your reaction to the Department of Justice officials testifying today at the J6 hearing? I thought it was phenomenal and extremely scary. Joe from Madison, what did you think?
Well, I think how strong and important those hearings are kind of reflected in the phone call you had in the last half hour with, I believe his name is Nick, describing really his great sorrow of being a Republican and feeling, I believe his words were, I don't belong. I feel like I don't belong. And that his relatives describe him as a rhino now, that you're not true blue, and to the Republican Party. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to say, it really does, and to say it publicly, that he kind of feels like a man without a party right now, and that something that had been part of his identity and that he cared about very much has been so tainted and stained by this awful Trump and what he's brought to the place, and that he has, we are coming to understand through these hearings just how deep the rot was, how terrible it was, and when Nick says, I took an oath to this country and how important that is to his self-identity. And it is so clear that for Trump, it was just one more game, one more ruse, one more way to make money, one more way to enrich himself and to not be thinking about the people of this country, people like Nick. And so I wanted to thank Nick for saying publicly what he did. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. And I applaud him for it. So that's what I have to say.
Joe, thank you for that. I want to ask you a question, though, about that rot. You know, I find it difficult to believe that any person, be it, you know, in this case, Donald Trump, could come into an organization and fundamentally change it to the degree that he seemingly did. My thought is that, you know, that rot's always been there. You know what I'm saying? And that a guy like Donald Trump just brought it to the surface. And there were so many, there still are so many within that party willing to acquiesce, to facilitate the bringing all that stuff to the surface and just discounting the family values party, right? And discounting the fiscal conservatism party and all the things that they used to claim that they were for that Donald Trump is most certainly not, yet they all lined up behind him one by one. I don't know if it's a continuation of the rot or just how weak those individuals in that party actually were to whatever core beliefs they claim they held, Joe, but what's your take?
You know, it gets into that territory. You think, what is being held over their heads to make them behave in this way? Did they take money that they shouldn't have? Is this who they really are? Because the behavior was certainly antithetical to the American electoral process and to what we're supposed to all be about and the most precious thing we have, which is our democracy. And flawed though it may be, it's a very, very precious thing. I don't know, Dom, and it does make me wonder who got to them and said what, you know, and I know that makes me sound like political thriller land, but man, how could you not see? How could you not see what this guy was about? He was about himself, and that's it. So great show, and I really, really appreciate your taking on this discussion. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Here's my impression, Joe. It was a populist message, and it was stolen, but in the rise of Donald Trump, in the rise of 2016, it was the message that economically this country is leaving you behind and your options have been limited. Now, Bernie Sanders would say, we're the 99%. Let's all rise up together. Let's all kumbaya and join a union and activate. And Donald Trump did something different. Donald Trump, the only way for him to expand the base of the Republican Party, or at least to his perception, was to activate the white nationalist and the low propensity voter. And we've talked about that here in the state of Wisconsin. Those rural voters felt abandoned by the Republican, the Democratic Party. The Dems didn't have anything to offer them. They didn't like the elitist Dems. And the populist Dems, the Bernie Sanders sort of populists that talked about the economic message and put it on the kitchen table, well, they played great. I mean, Bernie Sanders won this state by double digits, but that was only the primary. We're only one state. And ultimately, it was Hillary Clinton, and she was not a populist. And it was the false populist, the false prophet, because he was willing to take up the populist message. It's rigged, it's screwed, and we're going to... Oh, only I can fix it, right? It
was. You're never going to see another manufacturing company leave this country if I'm president. I'm bringing all the jobs back. Yes, that's a great point, Curtis.
If I'm home worried about my job, that's exactly what I want to hear.
Right.
If I'm that guitar-playing Craig out there on the road, well, he literally lost a kid to opioids, had his friend die, or his son die, pardon me, if I remember Craig's history properly.
Yes, that was his advocation.
And Trump, on a rope line, told him, brought him backstage, yeah, we're going to do something about the drug problem. We're gonna solve this problem so families like yours don't have to suffer. And he told us, you know, that personal contact from Trump, that assurance, that false promise is what convinced him. I mean, the guy went on to worship Trump. He played guitar. He lost his house because he's out on the road not working, not making any money. He's just out there playing guitar and trying to convince people Trump's the greatest ever. But Trump expanded the base. And what are Republicans afraid of? Those, you know, Mitt Romney sort of Republicans, the Paul Ryan sort of Republicans? They're afraid of their own base. Because those low propensity voters, those white nationalists that he ginned up, they're scary people, man. And he has given them permission to act that way. So I am super encouraged to hear a guy like Nick say, I renounce that party, because that cannot possibly be a reflection of a good Christian, reasonable human being. I know you don't like the Christianity, Dom.
But
if that's how you live your life, there's no way that you should continue to follow the false prophet.
It's not just white nationalism, Crudy. It's white Christian nationalism.
Sure.
I don't think you can say any of those three words without including any one of those three words without including the other two. That is their basis. That's where it comes from.
But I hate to hear the word Christian nationalism, because it implies somehow Jesus Christ, and I do believe that Jesus Christ would condone this. And any person that would live a Christ-like life would never condone Donald Trump.
Well, that's up for you Christians to figure out. I'm going to call them like I see them. They claim themselves that they're Christians, Crudy. I'm not calling them Christians. They're calling themselves Christians. And maybe they won't call themselves
Christians.
Yes, white nationalist Christians. That's who Donald Trump validated and who brought out. And those are the people that attacked the Capitol. So, I mean, we saw Jesus flags at the insurrection, man. I mean, listen.
They like an Old Testament, a wrathful God, right?
I didn't see Hindu flags. I didn't see Islam flags. I didn't see any other religious.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
I did not see any other religious flags, but I saw Christian flags at the insurrection, at the coup. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and definitely Trump hijacked that populist, that angst, no doubt about it. He did a hell of a job doing it, too. But the people that bought into it were white Christian nationalists.
Okay, fair enough. But there are also a lot of Klan or they will not replace us. Donald Trump has given permission for the Klan-like people. Perhaps he's given them some sort of sanitized cover. But that is an engaging movement. That racist movement has always engaged America. I mean, think of the KKK marching and filling up Madison Square Gardens in the 1920s or 30s. I forget when it was.
No, the Nazis
Coughlin
did.
Days. Sure. I'm telling you, there's always been that racist undertone amongst us. And they got very fired up when Barack Obama became the president of the United States. And Donald Trump said, first, he's not legitimate, right? Trump questioned his birth certificate. He's not a legitimate president. I got people out in Hawaii. They're investigating it. And, they'll bring back the proof. You remember, that's how Donald Trump, at least politically, pushed himself into prominence. And he's ginning up the racism now, because that's all that's left. He's calling upon the most violent elements, and that's all that's going to be left, man, because the tax cutting, swear an oath to the Constitution, join the army, kind of good, sensible Republicans, they're going to do what Nick did, and they're going to walk away. And all that's going to be left are those that either want to play war or those that are willing to die for this white nationalist Christian movement. And that's what I'm afraid we're going to devolve into if we can't find someone to give hope, a populist message that resonates with a big chunk of the country. It's not technocratic Dems that are going to appeal to the working class people in the 3rd CD in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Man, these are working stiffs out here. And Donald Trump, he appeals to many of them. But those watching the J6, I hope they have a new opinion.
844-967-2789. I would just suggest that if you're looking for others to provide you with happiness, you know, you got to look at yourself and internally first. I mean, no one's going to provide that for you. Every individual in this country's got to figure out what their hope and what their happiness, where their place is. Certainly, you know, politics plays a place in policy and so forth. But you know, they're an inspirational being. If that's the hope and change of Barack Obama became what? Coup and insurrection of Donald Trump. Let's get some callers in here. Mark from the SAC, you are up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, and I agree with Dom to a large extent here. The crystal fascist.
Oh, man, but go ahead.
No, but it is true that I've read this book on the Confederacy where they wrapped, you know, Christianity into, you know, the turning people into property. How is it divinely inspired that these people are supposed to be property now and forever because, oh, hell, they're the children, the descendants of Ham, you know, who disgraced Noah. Well, BS. I mean,
don't talk to me about the finer points of fiction, Mark. That's why I just discount all that all the time. But they do. They believe that stuff, Mark.
And that's the part of the problem is they miss the message of, if you believe in that, the message that Jesus supposedly delivered, you're supposed to give of yourself to your fellow man, not in terms of gaining profits for yourself, but how you care for your fellow man, no matter how supposedly insignificant you think that fellow man is, whether it be a prisoner in prison or, you know, the poor homeless person you see on the street, you're supposed to give of yourself for those people. And a society should give of itself for those people. And, you know, I'm not really overly surprised with a lot of the stuff I'm hearing. It's filling in a lot of the details. But I'm not surprised that Ron Johnson was in ass deep in this. And Johnson's problem is he told some lies, and now he keeps on telling lies, because if you just tell the truth from the beginning, you don't ever have to remember which lie you are trying to spin out of.
Right. Mark, that's why I don't lie, man. I could never keep it all straight. Thanks for the call, man.
Amen, Brother Mark. Here's my suggestion to Rojo. Just come clean, Rojo. Confess your sins and do a penance. You know, in this case, it might be in Club Fed, but come do your penance.
And give Dominic a tithe. Give the Devil's Advocates a tithe. That'll totally free you. I promise. On your deathbed, you shall receive total consciousness.
Gunga Galunga, Senator. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. You can be a part of this big show. 844-967-2789. Dom in the Shaw, Crudy in God's Country in La Crosse, Evan in the world headquarters in Madison, screening the calls. And it's almost time to go to a bar. So, you know, last segment, call.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now. We see you there, callers. We'll get to you shortly at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, confirm to me that this is new news. Michael Gableman gave testimony earlier today.
Yes.
Is what I'm seeing. Did I delete documents? Yes, I did. Gableman said, referring to records deleted in July and August of 2021, if there was no existing open records request, and if I wasn't going to be useful to my report, then I would probably delete it, understanding his report is complete hackery. So if it doesn't support his hackery,
right,
if it's exculpatory, right, then he throws it in the shredder. Dane County Circuit Court Judge Valerie Bailey Ryan determined Thursday that Robin Voss will not face penalties for the previous contempt order. Why not? American Oversight, a liberal watchdog group based in Washington, brought three open records lawsuits against Voss and Gableman. Bailey Ryan overseeing two of them, and Remington the other one, where Gableman's getting fined $2,000 a day, and we, the taxpayers, are what, paying the bill? Probably for all of it.
Well, it goes
over
back,
$1 million.
But it goes to the state or whatever municipality. So, you know, we're just moving money around, man. It doesn't really matter.
My apologies to Charles Franklin. Wasn't able to sneak him in today. He had dinner plans with wife, and, you know, I didn't have show yesterday, not me live. But 2/3 of Wisconsin Republicans still believe the big lie, Dom, or at least they're, you know, not fully confident in the outcome of the 2020 election. So, you know, a lot of rhino-culling relatives out there, I would say.
A lot of right-on-right violence. Kurt from Madison, you are up. Welcome, sir. What do you have for us today?
Hi, guys. You know, the problem I have with Republicans, and I'm talking over quite a long time, is are you, like, living by the lake, enjoying the land, taking on all the benefits that everything will give you, or are you living just outside the cave looking for protection so you can run inside? Or are you living just inside the cave? Or are you so far in the cave that you don't know what the hell's going on out there? So you guys listed a myriad of reasons of how Trump is a liar, pathological liar. And Nick, and to all your friends, where are your critical thinking skills? Where are your judgment values? You know, yeah, I'm a Democrat. I'm a progressive. But I don't vote off a letter. I vote off of observation in research, in my gut as well.
But let me interrupt you for a second.
Did everybody forget the debates?
But Kurt, let me interrupt you for a second. Not everyone, you know, pays attention to everything. The guy was telling people what they wanted to hear. People that were feeling some financial angst and desperation. Let me ask you this. Would you blame the victims of a Ponzi scheme? Because if you found out you're a victim of the Donald Trump Ponzi scheme, and ultimately this wasn't a political campaign at first, this was a Ponzi scheme, man. This was a brand builder, a fundraising campaign for Donald Trump. And okay, you were suckered in. But does that make you a bad human being? Or, you know, can you say, well, holy cow, I got robbed. And I've changed my mind. We can say we came to the right conclusion quicker, Kurt. But if you get robbed, eventually you might come to that same conclusion that we have. And I think it is time to give people permission in the face of new evidence to say, I was robbed. And I'm a little mad about the whole Trump Ponzi scheme.
Thank you for the call, Kurt. We appreciate it. I give him a week. 844-967-2789. Dana from La Crosse. Hey, man. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. How you all doing?
Awesome, dude.
Welcome to La Crosse.
Man, did we see you up at Shooters the other... I tried Shooters Door, man. Rudy's not in yet.
Last July. Yeah.
Yeah. Those were good times.
I figured you're going to be in town. You know, I am the official pimp of Devil Radio in La Crosse, so I think I better call in.
Dude, I'm staring at the... often. Right now, at this very second, in my hotel room, I can see the very ice cream shop that Joe Biden's motorcade rolled up to. I'm staring at Pearl Street out here, baby.
Pearl Street ice cream. Yeah, you're in a good spot. I wish I could have made it down to see you, but I wasn't sure where you were at, and I work till you guys are almost done. So,
man, I'm down here for three more days. Come down to Buzzard Billy's. I'm having dinner. I'm going to be there tomorrow. I'll buy you a beer, Dana. Come on down, man.
Tomorrow's a no-go either. What about Saturday? Where are you at?
I'm going to be here on Saturday. Democratic Party Convention. Let me tell you, for your sake, Dana, here's the schedule. Next 2 days. We got at 3 o'clock tomorrow, State Senator and 3rd Congressional CD candidate Brad Pfaff. Meet me at Buzzard Billy's. We got former military and CIA officer, 3rd CD candidate, Deb McGrath. She'll be at Buzzard Billy's. We got Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler. I think he's coming down to Buzzard Billy's. We've got U.S. Senate candidate Tom Nelson. He's at the bar. And at 5:30, Sarah Godlewski, she's at the bar. And then Saturday, we'll be at the La Crosse Center, this beautiful, newly remodeled La Crosse Center. At 6:05, I've got Alex Lazary joining me at the table. I believe at 6:20, I'm going to have Peter Pekarsky, and at 6:30, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, all U.S. Senate candidates.
And if you play your cards right, Crudy, Dana might join you as well. Let's jam in a few more callers here while we can. Tom from Madison. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Hey, hallelujah. We're talking about that religious stuff, and I don't know. I don't remember any other president, at least in our lifetimes, that was such a cult. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the T-shirts and the flags and the banners and the Trump as Rambo and Trump as Jesus and
weird,
all
man.
This kind of stuff. Yeah.
I bought my wife and Mama's for Obama T-shirt. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, actually, I had a Kennedy coin when I was about 5 years old, but I didn't have, you know, a Kennedy car or, a banner or something, or tattoos or anything like that. Just really, really weird. I just want to say I'm rolling into the Labor Temple right now. We're going to do Joe Hill at 7:30 tonight. And
over on Park Street in Madison, Tom?
Yep.
Awesome, man.
At Joe Hill. Yeah, the union invited us over after we did the show over at the Dark Horse.
Okay, one dumb question, Tom. How much is it going to cost me to go to the Union Hall? I won't be there, but in case my friends want to. What's the admission cost? Free?
Free. We like free. Jake from Milwaukee, we can give you 30 seconds, man. What do you got for us?
You know, I'm going to vote for Ron Johnson just so he can stay longer so we can see him go to jail. No, I wouldn't vote for him. But, I hope he really, really has to get a freaking lawyer. And I hope it gets worse for him.
Oh, he needs a lawyer.
As far as we find out more things about what he's done. I mean, I think I heard Crudy earlier this week saying, or whatever, like, you know, I thought he was like, whatever this, but this is just even gets worse. So anyways, I'm just, you know, he deserves it, and I just hope it gets worse for him.
It's really, really bad.
Stop talking to me.
Tune in Friday. I'll be broadcasting live from God's country. Buzzard Billy's, lots of fine candidates at the table, Dem Party chair, and the party continues Saturday night special event coverage. The whole DPW, all the live speakers.